You're listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada.
Yeah, I want to invite you back towards the seat as we dive in today. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 1. And as we're here celebrating Easter, I wanted to just kind of put this out there. Wherever you happen to be in your journey with God, maybe you need a reminder this morning, a reminder of who he is and what he's done for you. Maybe you need something refreshed. Maybe you need an opportunity to recommit. Maybe this is an opportunity for you to hear with open ears for the first time. When we come together, it's a time of celebration. It's not a time of judgment. It's something that we go forward with that ideally colors how we interact with both Jesus, but how we interact with other people. Over and over again, we have the opportunity to remember that the gospel means good news. May the message that we carry forward with our lives and with our words reflect good news. May it not be something that is condemnation. Jesus said there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, but there also, it says, today is the day of salvation. Today's not the day of the punishment. And so for us to be people who carry forward the good news, may this be a reminder of that and a continual checking of where our hearts are, that we're walking with him in the light. Throughout this series, we've been talking about metaphors, and the Bible is full of metaphors, and we see several of them pop up, especially in relation to the message of the gospel good news. And we have the metaphors of light and darkness. We have the metaphors of life and death. We have the metaphors of truth and lies, and each of these is used to compare and to contrast what it's like to be walking with Jesus and what it's like to be walking separate from Jesus. And metaphors help us to better understand spiritual principles and truths about God, about his nature, and about his character, and about his person. Light is associated throughout Scripture, just as it is even in our culture, with life and with vision, with clarity, with purity, with holiness, with transparency, with wholeness. Darkness associated with death and deceit and confusion and blindness and sin and decay and brokenness. And throughout the Gospels, throughout the books we're reading today in 1 John and then also in the Gospel of John, we'll see this picture of invitation to walk in the light in the same way that he's in the light and to be sensitized to darkness so that when we encounter it, we don't slip into it and become people who start functioning in the shadows where things are not necessarily as they seem, where we begin to be more prone to deception and more prone to just kind of gradually letting our guard down and stopping walking with Jesus. Very few of us would ever come to a spot where we say, I denounce my faith. Much more common is the being people who begin to walk in the shadows, being people who walk in the, you know, half-dead area, being people who walk in half-truths. Because once we leave light, we start engaging in darkness, it begins to become all-encompassing. Once we leave life and we start heading towards death, death begins to corrode and decay. Once we head towards lies, lies start to infect every area of our life. And so this is an opportunity for us to be sensitized to Jesus bringing us to himself as well. As we dive in, we're going to start with 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, our first scripture today. So this is a message we've heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. When John's writing this, he's reminding us that we are invited to a new way of life. We are walking, and if you think about this, most of the travel that would have been done in Jesus's time would have happened according to people walking. Very wealthy people could potentially have ridden on donkeys or ridden on camels, ridden in carts or something along those lines. Especially curious was the very wealthy Romans who would ride in chariots, but most people were walking. So the idea of walking was central to their life. So the invitation to walk in the light, it was walk where you can see where you're going. Walk in such a way that you're not putting your feet where you can stumble, where you can be trapped in areas that will end up damaging you. Ultimately, over and over again, Jesus presents himself as the one in whom we can find light and who we can find life. And in Easter, it's a very significant thing to be able to engage with the message of the gospel that talks about Jesus being crucified and being put into the tomb and 3 days later rising from the dead and appearing to his disciples. It's something where we can give acknowledgement to that with our heads and with our hearts. But from that point forward, he invites us to not just celebrate that fact that happened, but then to walk in the light and the life that he gives us. Jesus comes as a forerunner, and I'm not talking about Toyota here. He comes as the one who goes before us, showing us the life of what it looks like for a man, a person, walking in the light that his Father gives. He only did what he saw his Father doing, and he lived a life that was to be mimicked. We cannot take a look at Jesus' life and say, well, he was God, and therefore he did what he did. His disciples, his followers, his apprentices, took him at his word and walked with him and did great miracles as well. People will often point to Jesus' miracles and say, see, I can't do that. I would say this is what a fully devoted disciple of Jesus can expect to see happen as a byproduct of their life with the Holy Spirit working through them. Life coming from death. Light coming from darkness. Truth coming from lies. As we are people who will walk in the light. John chapter 8, Jesus himself identifies himself as the light of the world. Let's check this out. Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And then in John 12, Jesus said to them, the light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you still have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. There's something significant where in my lifetime, we've seen the idea of absolute truth become something that is accepted, at least in the West, as being subjective. And people can create their own truth. As a matter of fact, the phrasing will show up. It's like, you just need to speak what your truth is. And people can declare something, and we're supposed to accept what that is at face value, even if it's something that is contrary to the laws of nature, it's contrary to laws of physics, it's contrary to what we know is declared as reality. You can just say, this is what is true. But experience this. We can say, well, that's silly. That's terrible. You know, who would want to live that way? Overtly, we wouldn't. But often, our compass, our morality, our view of what's right, our view of how then should we live, can become colored by the world that we live in. And I'm not talking about, so therefore we need to go live in holes somewhere, or, you know, let's all have a really big commune and just, you know, eat holy bread and drink holy water and never go outside into the world. Jesus said, we're to be salt and light. And salt only goes to places where there is potential decay. Dark, light only goes where there's darkness. We're to be out among and in people as a sign and a wonder of who Jesus is. But there's also the aspect of the possibility that we would take our eyes off of the light that is Jesus and began to kind of look at ourselves or look at other things as our compass, as the thing that guides us, as the area that directs us. And Jesus firmly says, keep your eyes on me. I am the light of the world. Learn to walk in my light. And even after Jesus left, he sends the Holy Spirit that we could have the leading of the Holy Spirit in leading us into light, because we live in a world that is predominantly dark. When you see someone who is living in the light, it stands out as a beacon. I can remember one time my friend Matt and I were driving back from Missouri Valley College in Marshall, Missouri. Anybody ever heard of that? It is in the middle of Podunk nowhere. John, you grew up in Missouri? Okay, John grew up in Missouri. He knows where this is. Middle of nowhere. And as we're crossing Kansas, anybody ever seen Wizard of Oz? You thought the beginning of the Wizard of Oz in black and white. No, that's Kansas. That's what it looks like all the time. As we're driving across, you can see miles and miles to the right, miles and miles to the left. And we were driving, and it takes at least 5 hours. And we had landed in Kansas City at some point, and we're coming through there. And it starts to get dark. And as we're going through Kansas, it's dark. There's a moon up above us, but there's nothing. You can see nothing. And all of a sudden, there's this light that shines off in the distance. And we both kind of slow down, and we're looking over there. And it's like, what happened? And somebody turned on their back porch light. And it's who knows how far away, but the light is shining. And it was such a picture of what one little light will do in the middle of darkness. Jesus says, when all the darkness is all around you, make sure even more intently, to keep your eyes on the light that is him. Focus on him, because we want to be people who are walking in the light, but even more, the picture he uses, we want to be sons and daughters of the light. In the first century, to be a child of something, or to be a son and daughter of something, it intimated that you were dedicated. This was something you're going to study. If you were a fan, you know, of 60s and 70s UCLA basketball, you might be a child of a devotee of John Wooden. If you were a person who was a 49er fan in the 80s, you'd be maybe a child of the 80s who is devoted to the 49ers and Joe Montana and Bill Walsh and those guys. If you were a person, you know, you kind of see the point where there's this picture of we can give ourselves to something and it becomes not just something that we look at, but it becomes enculturated into our life. When I wake up in the morning, I do something I've done since I was about 9 years old. I go and I make my coffee. I put all the things into my coffee. I have my own routine that is, I've got the collagen that goes in, chocolate flavored now. I've got the MCT oil that goes in. I've got just the right amount of cream. I put, you know, the half calf in because, I mean, we can't have too much fun during the day. And stir it up. And it's become this is who I am. This is what I do. And I get to watch my grandkids as they're watching me do this the same way my kids did. And my grandkids are like, what is Poppy drinking? And it's like, I want that too. And I give them a sip of my drink, and it's like they don't want it anymore because they don't want to drink that. But I have become a devotee of that. I become, this is part of who I am. They're not there yet. They want to be like me, but I start them off on hot cocoa. And so they're drinking that. Over time, we're going to slip them the good stuff. There's an aspect of us coming from looking and walking in the light to becoming children of the light where we may not fully embrace all the teachings of Jesus yet. And that's not because we don't want to. It's just because we can want to. Like I was talking earlier about our willpower, we can see what we're to do and how we're to live and recognize that what's in here doesn't match up. And no matter how hard we try, love one another doesn't come out. You know, one of my favorite scriptures, or one of the ones I hate the most, husbands, don't be harsh with your wives, because if you do, God won't listen to your prayers. Well, I don't want God not to listen to me, but sometimes stuff comes out. I'm serious. It's in there. And so what do you do? So I'm just going to try harder. James chapter 3 says the tongue is untamable. No person can get this under control. So we're supposed to be, this is good news? We get to go home with it? You can't do it, so go out there and try. No, it's not it. We are stuck with our own inability to make lasting change. But that's not bad news, that's good news, because Jesus is the one who makes the lasting change. What he asks us to do is to submit ourselves to him and to say, God, I can't do this on my own. Well, what can I do? I can be intentional about everything I know to do to put my hope and trust and faith in him. Maybe it's going to start with, I know I need to not just take a day off now and then, but I need to begin to live a rhythm of rest. Maybe it's, I know I need to begin incorporating devotions into my life. I want to incorporate Bible reading. Well, I don't know if I can do that every day. Well, when you remember, it's a lot easier if you keep a Bible on you and you have 15 minutes to take time to read it. And then maybe you say, I've got time for a chapter. Great, knock yourself out. Well, I've got time for 5 verses. Great, read Psalm 23. You have time to begin to incorporate aspects into your life. And then to, again, submit yourself to God and say, God, I recognize I am unable to change this man. But I so want to see your light and your life and your truth. Where there is darkness, where there is death, where there are lies, expose them and bring them out. The prayers that we see revealed in the scriptures are meant to emphasize our reliance upon God. When Paul in chapter 1 of Ephesians says, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, that you may see who Jesus is. You can know the love that he has for you. It's because in our own depravity, we can't do that. When we're praying and asking God to search us and to know us and to try our heart and to try our mind, he's revealing himself to us over and over and over again as we submit ourselves to him. John chapter 1, verses 4 through 12. Jesus says this. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and he came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Jesus calls himself the light of life. Life for humanity. Light for humanity. The light that gives light to all. The light that reveals Jesus as the Christ. The light that demands a response. That we would be people who walk with him in the light to become children of the light. Our last scripture, 1 John chapter 1. We're going to read a little further this time. We're going to go 5 through 10 instead of 5 through 7. This is the message we've heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Bottom line, throughout this series, we've talked a lot about light. We've talked a lot about life. We've talked a lot about truth. What does that have to do with Easter? It has everything to do with Easter. Because of Easter, because of resurrection of Christ, because the living Christ is alive on the throne, because the Holy Spirit dwells within us, God's light, God's life, and God's truth are all possibilities for us to live in, to walk in, to become children of. When we mess up, when we sin, the important thing for us to do is to acknowledge it, not to try to double down or to hedge our bets or to lean back into our righteousness or the things we've done or to begin to compare ourselves to Hitler or somebody else. Say, I'm not as bad as. Our purpose is to acknowledge the wrong, to confess the wrong, to ask for forgiveness for the wrong. This passage that we just read is so comforting because if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with him and fellowship with one another. Our only trouble with Jesus ever comes in is if we deny or hide our areas of sin, our areas of wrong, the areas that we've messed up. If we try to hide it, we are liars and there's no truth in us and it keeps us distant from God. But if we come to him and we confess it and we ask for forgiveness, we can know that he is faithful, he is just, he forgives us, and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness and every vestige of that sin. We don't have to be walking in that. Too often, people quit because they see themselves as unable to keep going forward in perfection. Jesus does not ask us for perfection. He asks us for humility, that we would humble ourselves and acknowledge we can't walk in the light apart from him. We can't walk in his life apart from him. We can't walk in his truth apart from him. And when we stumble, we come to him and we say, God, I've sinned. Please forgive me. And he cleanses us. And we learn and we begin to walk closer and closer and closer with him. And stumbling becomes not something that separates us. Stumbling becomes something that makes us even more indebted to him and to his goodness. Bottom line, we have to decide what it looks like for us to walk in the light. We can become comfortable with a form of Jesus that is way out here, that does not affect our Monday through Saturday. Or we can recognize our desperate need for the light of life that is a part of our every 24/7, 365. If we will seek God, we will find him. He's available. If we will walk and ask him to light our path, he will do that. If we ask him to fill our life with his life, he will do that. If we ask him to make our mouth and our life truth speakers and truth livers, he will do that. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your death, through which you paid for our sin, you paid for the wrongs that we've done. And I thank you even more for the life that you give through your resurrection life to us through the power of your Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you would bring conviction for sin, that you would show us how desperately we need you, that you would illuminate the significance of our actions and our priorities and our values and our lifestyle in lining up with you. not out of willpower, but out of submission and humility. I pray that you would give us your perspective, Lord, that when we walk out of here and each day going forward, we would embrace your life, your light, and your truth. If you are here today with everybody's head still bowed and you've never started a relationship with Jesus, I want to agree with you that today can be your day. And if that's you, I just would invite you to pray this prayer with me as I pray it. And Heavenly Father, I confess my sins and my wrongs. I ask you to forgive me my sins because of Jesus' blood that paid for them. I pray you fill me with your Holy Spirit and empower me to believe in you, to walk in your light, and to live as a child of the light in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed with us today, I would love for you, Lori and Tanner, would you wave your hands back there at Connect and Grow? I'd love for you to grab a yes packet back there. It gives you some understanding on how you can begin walking with Jesus today and walking in the light. What does that look like for you? I want to invite you to consider that as the most important thing you can do in your life is to embrace God's light for you, to embrace his life for you, embrace his truth, not just what works for you now, but what he's got for you, which is the best. Let me say happy Easter. Thank you for being a part of our day today. We love you so much and are wanting God's very best for you. Have a great rest of your day. God bless you.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us via email at web@hillside4.org. That's W-E-B @hillside4.org.